Professor Wolfgang Preisser is head of the Division of Medical Virology at Tigerberg and Stellenbosch University and on the line to us now. Wolfgang, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
A question which a lot of listeners are raising in one way or another is the issue of, some say it shouldn't have happened, others applaud the fact that there was early disclosure. What's your view? Is there an argument to be made that the scientists should have kept quiet about B11529 until they were more sure of the whatever risk there is of increased transmissibility and increased risk of it being an escape mutation?
I have to say I'm myself quite conflicted about that question. Ultimately, I think the position to go back to is that, you know, openness and full transparency is always best, even though, you know, it may have sort of negative consequences in the short term. Think of not losing the trust of international partners by trying to hide, you know, negative findings and so on. So, you know, ultimately, I think it is always good to work transparently and have maximum openness. At the same time, of course, the immediate effects are devastating, and, you know, many of us are having a lot shattered. But just imagine this had come out 2 weeks later, it would still have shattered the Christmas tourism season. So I don't think, you know, it would necessarily have, you know, it's not a question of not having it at all. I think South Africa once again has done a fine job, and I'm sorry for praising myself as part of the NGSSA network. I think we are really at the top, together with a few other countries, when it comes to identifying new problems. And that is done through an amazing network, and it takes a lot of effort behind the scenes to keep this network together and to build it further. Looking at, you know, from the different aspects, from clinicians to lab people to epidemiologists to modelers, there's a lot of hard work going on. And I think this is our only chance if we want to ever get on top of this virus. And in fact, what we have seen so far, a lot remains to be confirmed, but that virus has mutations that we know from other variants of this virus are deleterious. They give it negative properties. And what we've seen so far in terms of its spread, that it could be quite explosive. So again, it's best to know early. And personally, I very much hope that we will see strengthened precautions in the form of, you know, no mass gatherings and so on to be reintroduced quite soon, because I think we might still try and again soften the spread somewhat. But it is a formidable virus from all that we know so far. We are busy investigating it further, so the full extent of what it can do and what it can't, hopefully, will become visible over the weeks to come. We are on top of it, but in the meantime, it's really better to be safe than to be sorry afterwards.
Yeah, so there is a choice. We announce now that it is there and that it is potentially explosive, to use your word, and that gives people an opportunity to prepare for it. And if it turns out that our expectations of its explosiveness were wrong, and that it's, you know, it's more neutral than we expected it to be, then we say sorry. Or, you know, which is the greater sin? To announce something, you know, and then have to retract it and have to deal with the damage that is being done as a result of the announcement, or to hold back on it and then announce it 2 weeks later, by which time it has spread much more, and then confirm your sense that it's incredibly dangerous, and then you're attacked for not having told people about it earlier so they could begin to prepare for it better.
Whatever one does, one won't win. There is always a downside to any decision. You know, if I may just mention, a few months ago, we detected another, what never was formally recognized as a variant called C.1.2 here in South Africa. And that is one that we had been watching, and we were very careful. We, means the consortium, very careful not to hype it in any way. So we tried to keep it very much into perspective when asked about it. And in fact, it never took off. It remained at very low levels and steady. It seems to have nothing to do with what we are seeing now. So, you know, I think there needs to be quite good evidence for an impending risk before the alarm bell is rung. And I think
you think the evidence was good enough about the impending risk to...
I fear so. And also, let's face it, if Hong Kong, Israel and other countries had detected this variant, and these guys are also very much on the lookout when they have travelers arriving that turn out to be infected, or they even put them in quarantine and then test them regularly. So they would have found it, and then just imagine what would have happened if a week later or so, you know, they would have said, but this is a nasty variant that this guy brought with from South Africa. What's happening there? Are you not on top of it? I don't think that would have softened the blow to the South African economy.
Yeah. Wolfgang, what do you make of the news that a case has been identified in Belgium in somebody who flew via Turkey to Egypt and back again? No contact with Southern Africa at all. And amazing. It appears to be this same variant. I mean, it may well not be. The information is relatively new. But what do you make of that?
That's amazing. I can't, you know, and the case in Israel is apparently someone who returned from Malawi. What it may show is that other countries are sitting on a problem and not recognizing it as such. And we may be something like the sentinels of a lot of African countries. In fact, Botswana, like us, so Botswana also identified this new variant, and Botswana also has a very good scientific and medical system in place. So, yeah, that is flabbergasting. I can't really interpret this 1,000 case at all. I think we need to know more about it in order to put it into perspective. But there may be lots more than is currently known. And, you know, if countries don't conduct this type of surveillance, which is demanding, it's not easy. And in fact, our network is also trying to build links with other countries and provide training. There has been a training course recently where scientists from different African countries were introduced to the, you know, and trained in the technologies. But it is, of course, also costly, and it's not an easy undertaking. So I can understand that some countries are basically flying it blind. And I think besides insufficient vaccine rollout, that's another big issue for a while to come. So it would be in the interest of everyone, including the rich countries, to really make sure that we know from around the world what's going on. And of course,
I just have one more question, and we're running out of time.
Please.
How explosive? I mean, I appreciate it, and this is very difficult because there is a lot that still needs to be learned. But you used the word, this one could be explosive. So without being alarmist, trying to be realistic and as objective as you can be with the limited science that is available at the moment, how explosive could this be?
Well, if it was the worst case scenario, we would have a variant here that spreads even more easily than the Delta variant. We simply can't tell right now, but it has some hallmarks in its genetic structure that, you know, would explain that. But of course, many other things can come in its way. I think what it underlines is that we need to really get our non-pharmaceutical interventions, the mask wearing, keeping a distance, not gathering in masses and so on. We need to get those up again. I think we've become quite relaxed over the past few weeks and months. And the other thing, of course, is we need to get vaccinated. Everybody needs to get vaccinated, and the elderly and those at particular risk are probably also due for a booster vaccine at some stage in the not-too-distant future in order to keep their immune levels up. If that virus is really spreading fast and efficiently, then we need to have as many people protected as we can. So the ultimate message is, whatever nasty properties it may have, you know, we need to stick to our usual precautions, and we need to actually up them.
Professor Wolfgang Preiser, a medical virologist, thank you for talking to us.